Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome into this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. A half-hour show today as we will take a look at the Boston Celtics draft lottery preview. Again, the NBA draft lottery tonight at 8 p.m. So a lot in store for the Celtics franchise tonight, an important night for the Celtics franchise tonight. Today we're going to take a look at an article written by the Boston Globe on Monday just about how recent top five picks over the last 10 years have really fared in the NBA. And whether maybe it's sometimes better to avoid the lottery altogether. We're going to take a look at the Celtics odds for selecting in the top five picks, 1 through 5, which is where they are likely to pick in this year's draft. They obviously could get number 6, but let's not think about the negatives. We'll explain just how the draft lottery works, how the Celtics are hoping to get one of those top five picks, and how it could all shake down tonight. And we'll finish up with some names who I've been listening over the weekend, been reading over the weekend, some names that have intrigued the Celtics at the draft combine and how the team should feel about getting the number 1 or number 2 overall pick. All that and more today on this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, good morning and welcome. My name is Chris Trafficante. That guest call in line today, 646-668-2091. Feel free to hop in on the chat as well. We're talking Celtics today and tomorrow, a pre-draft lottery show and a post draft lottery show in store the next 2 days for everyone out there. I wanted to hit on this article that I was reading the other day. It was published yesterday by the Boston Globe, and it was taking a look at the top picks from 2006 to 2009. They looked at picks 1 through 5 in each of those drafts. We'll look at number 1 overall from that span. Obviously, we have guys like Carl Anthony Towns, who just yesterday was named the unanimous Rookie of the Year for the first time ever. Had a terrific rookie season. The kid looks like the future of the NBA. At that center spot, he's terrific. He's absolutely terrific. I think he's going to be a stud in this league. Another pick, Andrew Wiggins, also Minnesota Timberwolves. However, of the 8 picks between 2006 and 2013, only 5 have been an all-star at least once in their career. So that is a little bit of a frightening number. 2 guys, Anthony Bennett and Greg Oden, are out of the NBA, and Andrea Bargnani. Well, we know all about Andrea Bargnani. So those would be the 3 guys that were not all-stars. The other 5 obviously were. We looked at some names. Other than that, you got guys like Blake Griffin, Anthony Davis, John Wall. So the number 1 pick usually does turn in pretty terrific results for the franchise that gets it. Obviously, there's some bad luck involved with some of the other players, but some would say that can be avoided in some cases. I don't think Anthony Bennett, Greg Oden, and Andrea Bargnani were can't-miss prospects. I remember there was debate about Greg Oden or Kevin Durant. There was much debate about Toronto selecting Andrea Bargnani, and there was obviously no one had any idea Cleveland was taking Anthony Bennett. Everybody thought it was going to be Victor Oladipo. So, I think that there was a way around some of those picks, but at the same time, the number 1 pick is more of a sure thing than it is not a sure thing. Some of the number 2 picks from 2006 to 2013, only 2 have played an All-Star game. So 2 out of 8, we have LaMarcus Aldridge and Kevin Durant. Obviously, both those guys are elite players in this league, so kind of a common denominator. Some of the other flameouts at that number 2 spot, Michael Beasley, Hasheem Thabeet, and Derek Williams, all guys that, Beasley and Williams have somewhat carved out a rotation role, and Thabeet is nowhere to be found. So that number 2 pick does really, really hedge some different results. 2 number 3 picks in the 8 years have reached all-star status, Al Horford and James Harden. 7 of the 8, though, remain in the NBA. That is including Joel Embiid, who has yet to play in an NBA game. The success rate at the number 4 slot is not very good. Only 1 of the 8 players selected in the 4th overall slot from 2006 to 2013 has developed into an all-star. That player is Russell Westbrook. The other players selected number 4, Tyrus Thomas, Wesley Johnson, and Tyreek Evans, to name a few. So that number 4 spot is kind of the tough spot. You're not getting 1 or 2. You're not really getting the next best guy. You're getting that next best guy. So that is really a tough spot to be in. Boston Globe does a really good job here of kind of outlining everything here. The Celtics, they have the highest percentage to land the fifth overall pick at 26.5%. We'll talk about that later. Which has fared better. Two of the eight have been all-stars. That's Kevin Love and DeMarcus Cousins. However, that list of number five picks also includes Duke Sheldon Williams, Thomas Robinson of Kansas, and Alex Len of Maryland. So, again, it's feast or famine, you know. And you know, they ranked all the top five picks here. We're not going to go through all the way through that. You know, there's 50 names on this list. If you're looking for elite-level players, you know, if you're looking for those franchise-altering guys, you know, some of the names here, Stephen Curry, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Damian Lillard, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, all guys that went deep into the playoffs, are elite-level scorers, are elite-level players, they all were selected after the fifth pick in the draft. So it really shows that unless you're getting number one, the rest is kind of it's a crapshoot. You know, you got to take your chance. You got to think that you have the right guy, and you got to put that guy in the spots to succeed. And if you don't, that's just the way it's going to pan out. You know, there's really no way of knowing any of this, and it's always hard to predict. You know, so that is the Boston Globe article we were talking about. You know, but to me, I do think that some players get overhyped, and I do think that some players, you know, they are what they are. You know, so you have to take the things you hear with a grain of salt. You know, you have to understand that the Celtics do have an understanding of what they want. They do have an understanding of these players. But at the same time, picking in the top five isn't always you're guaranteed to get a superstar. It just means you have a chance. Your chances are higher. You're picking at the top half of the draft. Let's move forward now. Let's look at odds for selecting in the top five. Now, the Celtics have a 15.6% chance of getting the number one overall pick tonight. They have a 15.7% chance of getting the number two overall pick. So overall, they have a 31.3% chance of getting a top two pick tonight. Not bad odds, not great odds, but a 31.3% chance nonetheless of getting a top two pick tonight. The Celtics' normal draft slot is number three. They have a 15.8% chance of getting the number three pick, I believe. Number four is their most likely outcome at 26.5%. Number five is also in the cards for the Celtics as well. Number six is also in the cards. That is the lowest that they can possibly fall tonight. The Celtics, however, have less than a 5% chance of getting the number six pick. So we'll keep our fingers crossed that we do not fall that low. But the Celtics have a very, very good opportunity to get a top five pick tonight. So those are the Celtics' odds, at least for selecting the top five tonight. And how that shakes out, you know, we don't know. You know, we don't know. Obviously, as fans, we would love to see a top two pick because I think that those two guys, Ingram and Simmons, are very good prospects. Very good prospects. And I think that they offer different things. You know, we look at some of those names that we were just talking about, right? One name that pops into my mind is Derek Williams. At Arizona, Derek Williams was a beast. He led Arizona to the Elite Eight. He was that best player on that team. There was talk about him maybe even going number one overall in that draft. But Derek Williams' style in Arizona, he was a big, powerful, small ball four. He was kind of a tweener, didn't have really a position in the NBA, and that caused a problem. You know, neither Ben Simmons nor Brandon Ingram is a tweener. You know, Ingram is a three who can stretch the floor as the four, and Simmons is a four who can handle the basketball and create mismatch nightmares. So that's who they are as players, you know, and both of those roles, both of those spots are of high value in the NBA. So I really don't envision that happening, but you see guys, you know, a guy like Buddy Hield is a guy, you know, that does he really have a position? Jamal Murray is another guy. Does he really have a position? And that's where that crapshoot factor really comes into play, because you just don't know how it's going to pan out. You don't know how guys are going to adapt. So you just try to pick the surest thing you can. And teams that don't do that are teams that sometimes get in trouble. But we'll, you know, move on. We're looking at how the draft lottery works. Obviously, it is a system. There are a set number of combinations. I know the Celtics released something the other day on their website. You know, they sent out about 200 combinations that they are given. Each of those combinations is assigned a percentage and is assigned to a pick. So when you pick one of the combinations for the Celtics, that's the pick that they receive. You know, so it's an interesting process, and it is flawed. But it does, you know, some argue that it prevents teams from tanking. I actually say that you get more teams tanking because they feel like they have more of a shot when the lottery system comes around. The less wins you have, the more opportunity you have at the number one pick. Philadelphia had the least wins. They have a 25% chance of getting the number one pick tonight. You know, so more teams tank. The Lakers tanked. The Nets, you know, they just stunk. Philly obviously tanked. You know, teams like Phoenix, they tanked as soon as all those injuries hit. So it just makes for bad basketball across the league. So, you know, you look at a league like the NFL, teams don't necessarily tank in the NFL. They're just not necessarily good enough. And that is why they draft high. So I almost wonder if the NBA should look at a system like that, because I do think that the draft lottery as it's constructed now is a little bit flawed. Tonight is going to be an interesting night for the Celtics. It really is. The more I think about it, you know, the more really rides on tonight. You know, if you are able to get a top two pick tonight, you know, you set your franchise up pretty nicely. You have a lot of options on that table. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But what an important night for the Boston Celtics tonight. What an important night. To me, I just don't see a way, you know, that the Celtics can be happy with anything but a top three pick. You know, I know as a fan, you know, I'll be a little bit less excited about the number three pick, but that is higher than they've picked in a very long time. With the number four pick, now you're kind of getting into that territory where it's not a great spot to be. You're kind of in no man's land right there. And looking at some of the numbers we just threw out at you, the number four pick, one out of the last eight have been an all-star, one out of eight. And then you move to number five, two out of eight. You know, so it's a tough spot to be in, and it's not really a spot I think the Celtics want to be in. You know, you look at some of the guys that they've drafted over the past few years, Terry Rozier, R.J. Hunter, James Young, Marcus Smart, Jordan Mickey. You know, have any of those guys really, really hit at an astounding level? I don't think so. You know, so to me, I just think the Celtics are better off in that top two, top three range where there are more sure things. Obviously, the more sure things you have, the better your opportunities are to hit. You know, and to me, it's an important night for the Celtics, whether they want to trade that pick. You know, there's really no way of knowing what they want to do with that pick. But whatever they want to do, obviously the higher up, the closer you get to number one, the more value that pick has and the more able you will be to trade it, if that is so the option that they want to take. You know, let's move on to the draft combine that happened just the other day. Celtics brass was all there, Jenny Ainge, Brad Stevens, Austin Ainge, they were all there. The whole Celtics brass was there. I saw Walter McCarty in some of those pictures as well. So the Celtics brought everybody to the draft combine for good reason. It's an important pick. You want to get all eyes on some of these guys. And one report that I did hear is that if the Celtics were not in the top two, one name that really intrigued them was Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield possesses the ability to make shots. Buddy Hield was a shot maker. He averaged 25.7, almost 26 points a game at Oklahoma. Just a terrific senior season for Buddy Hield. He scored in a variety of ways, but his ability to hit contested shots, hit tough shots, hit open shots, standstill shots, his ability to make dribble moves and hit shots was the best in the country. The one thing I would caution the Celtics is obviously, yes. Do they need shooting? Yes. Do they need guys that can put the ball in the hoop? Yes. The one thing I would caution the Celtics about is he doesn't have prototypical two-guard size. He's about 6'5". Guys like that, when I see a guy like Buddy Hield, I just think of a guy like Jody Meeks. You know, I'm not sure he's ever going to be more than a shooter. I'm not sure he's ever going to be more than what he was at Oklahoma. You know, I'm not so wrapped up in drafting a guy because he's not drafting a guy because he's a senior or drafting a kid because he's a freshman. I don't really care so much about the age. I care more about, you know, can he play? Can he still develop? You know, a lot of people say, well, when a guy's a senior, he's kind of a finished product. That's what he's going to be. I don't fear that as much as I fear that you've seen the best of Buddy Hield. You know, what more is he going to be? You know, is he going to be a 26-point scorer in the NBA? I certainly hope so. That would be great, especially if he landed in Celtic Green. But at the same time, he's kind of a tweener. He's 6'4", 6'5". Can he really guard the physical twos in the NBA? How's he going to deal with length guarding him in the NBA? I think the style in the NBA fits Buddy Hield, the up-and-down frenetic pace. It's kind of what he played at Oklahoma. More open looks in the NBA, that's another thing to take into account. He does fit what the Celtics want to do. I don't think he needs the ball in his hands to be a good scorer. So I do think he fits in that regard. But to me, you know, I do caution the Celtics. And I caution the Celtics on anybody outside of the top two, really. I think if you go Ben Simmons or Brandon Ingram, I really don't know if there's a bad selection there. But outside the top two, there's always going to be caution, you know. But obviously the Celtics have their eyes on Buddy Hield. I think that would be the guy they would pick number three. You know, but it is draft time again, and you've got guys at the combine who, you know, they say one thing, but they actually do another. You know, they could be saying that because there's another team that they think will be picking in the same vicinity as them that is also intrigued by Buddy Hield. So they want to get them to jump and maybe make a move with the Celtics. Who knows? But the report out there was that the Celtics were intrigued with Buddy Hield at the draft combine. They did interview Buddy Hield. They interviewed Brandon Ingram, Buddy Hield, Jamal Murray. They also have a tentative workout schedule with Brandon Ingram. We'll see how all that pairs out. I'm sure more of that will be set in stone after tonight to see where the Celtics are picking and see who they will have a shot at in the draft lottery. With the Celtics, I've kind of been listening. You know, as you guys know, I listen to a lot of talk radio, 985, the Sports Hub, WEEI, whatever it may be, locally around here. I listen to a lot of talk radio because I like to get different opinions on things. Obviously, I have my own set of opinions, but I like to hear what other people think. The talk I've been hearing recently is that if the Celtics get the number one or number two overall pick, what should they do? You know, a lot of people that write for the Celtics in various different papers, online sources, whatever it may be, a lot of people that cover the Celtics have written about this. A lot of people that talk about the Celtics have really harped on this. I know Adam Jones, who does the night show at 98.5, has talked about this in length the last couple of days. If you're the Celtics, what do you do if you get the number one or number two overall pick? If this was 3 weeks ago, the sentiment you would be hearing is get rid of the pick. Dump it. Get rid of it. You know, try to trade it for an established veteran. Get the best player you can in here to turn this franchise around quickly. Well, what if that deal isn't available? And what if the only deals you can make for that number one pick are to move back a few picks and get a youngish player who fits into what you do, but he's kind of similar to some of the guys you have? Do you make that trade? And I think the answer is no. You know, and even if we're talking about a guy like DeMarcus Cousins or Jimmy Butler, I'm not sold you make that trade. I think you have to win that trade to make that trade. You know, I've talked in previous podcasts that, you know, you're going to have to overpay for anybody you want. You're going to have to overpay for Jimmy Butler, overpay for DeMarcus Cousins, overpay for Paul George. If you want one of those guys, they're not going to be cheap. You're going to have to overpay. And on paper, you're going to have to lose the trade. You're going to have to give up a lot to get that guy. But if you're the number one and number two overall pick, you know, I think you hold all the cards in that discussion. I think you hold all the leverage in that discussion. So to me, if I'm the Celtics and I get the number one or number two overall pick, I'm more inclined right now to keep the pick, as strange as that sounds. I know we want to turn the franchise around as quickly as we can, but as of right now, I think I'm more inclined to keep the pick. You know, you look at some of the guys that are truly, truly special in this league. Okay, Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, special talents. They were special last night in that win over Golden State. Both were drafted by Oklahoma City. Both have been there their entire career. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, special talents in this league. All drafted, all have played for Golden State their entire career. LeBron James was never traded, but he did play for the Cleveland Cavaliers and is now back in Cleveland after a stint in Miami. He was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving, same thing, special talent, drafted by the Cavaliers. Kawhi Leonard, special talent, drafted by the Spurs. Normally with these special talents, they're kind of homegrown. You know, DeMar DeRozan, drafted by the Raptors. Kyle Lowry was acquired by the Raptors, but he has been there for a while. You know, guys like James Harden, who was acquired in a big trade and was supposed to be the guy, hasn't won anything. You know, are the Celtics better off maybe taking a step back next year, going from 48 wins to maybe 43 wins? You know, maybe you dip a little bit because you're trying to develop that number one or number two overall pick. You know, maybe you take a step back. But maybe the following year, you have a guy on your hands who is a legit top 20 player in the NBA, which is what you need. You know, is that worth it for the Celtics? You know, are you more likely – this is the way I see it. If you trade for a guy, he's obviously going to be older than the guy you select. So your step back may be in 6 years, you know, where you may have to hit the reset button and rebuild once again. It may even be sooner than that, depending on who you acquire. But with this young kid, maybe your step back is from 48 to 42 or 43 wins. Maybe that's not a drastic difference. Maybe instead of being the 5 seed, the Celtics are the 6 seed. Is that the drop-off? Is that drop-off more beneficial to the franchise? Is it more beneficial to take that drop-off now than it is in 4 or 5 or 6 years? You know, you won't be hitting the reset button anytime soon. You know, but you have that building block in place. And over the next year, 2 years, you can kind of transition the team for, you know, right now it's Isaiah Thomas's team. Thomas has 2 years remaining on his contract, or 3 years remaining on his contract. Over the next 2 years, you'll be transitioning the team from Isaiah Thomas's team to Ben Simmons' team to Brandon Ingram's team. Whoever's team, whoever you draft, it's his team moving forward, you know, unless he plays out. But the goal there is to transition the team into his team. So is it more likely to do, you know, to take that step back now or to have to hit the reset button in 5 years and do this whole thing over again? You know, in 5 years, is Brad Stevens going to want to hit the reset button? Or is Brad Stevens, you know, going to be winning at a high level where he hits the reset button, he pulls the Doc Rivers, and he gets out of town? Because you lose Brad Stevens, I don't think you're in a very good spot as a franchise. Brad Stevens means a lot to this franchise. So I almost wonder if you get that number one or number two overall pick, maybe you're better off making the selection. You know, you look at a guy like Ben Simmons, who I like a lot. You know, I think Ben Simmons was miscast at LSU, terribly miscast at LSU by Johnny Jones. I don't think he did a very good job at all. The ball should have been in Ben Ingram's hands, Ben Simmons' hands, much more than it was. The offense was way too stagnant. There should have been much more motion in the NBA. There is more motion. And if you put a guy with Ben Simmons' talent and Ben Simmons' ability to understand the game, his passing ability, his ability to get to the rim, if you put a guy like that with Brad Stevens, I really wonder what could happen. I really wonder what the ceiling for a kid with that kind of talent is. I think it's very high. Just personal opinion. Then you look at a guy like Brandon Ingram. He fits into what the Celtics want to do with the pace and space, equal opportunity offense. He doesn't need the ball to be a successful player. He can hit standstill shots. He's able to create his own shot off of the pass. He's able to create his own shot with the ball on his hands. Those are two important things in Brad Stevens' offense, which is why a lot of people were all over Jay Crowder this year. Oh, look at the improvement Jay Crowder made. Well, it's because he had the ability to hit a shot off of a pick and roll, and it really changed his game. Brandon Ingram can do that right now. So I think they both offer benefits. You know, obviously, they come with negatives. Ben Simmons' attitude at LSU is questioned a little bit, but I look at that as more of, I was the number one recruit in the country, I'm the best player in the country, and I'm on a team that isn't winning because my coach isn't using me correctly. Now, I see that as, you know, some people see that as being a baby and suck it up and play. That's your job. You're the team leader. You're supposed to do that, but he is 19 years old. There's a lot of pressure on him, so I can understand that from both sides. With Brandon Ingram, he's very thin. He has to add weight. He needs a lot of weight on that body to be a successful player. I think Ben Simmons can come in year one and be a starter in the league and hold his own. I think he has an NBA body. Brandon Ingram, I don't know if he can come in and be a starter. He's probably a rotation guy, but how many rotation minutes can a guy with that frail of a body play? Does it hold up over 82 games? Those are all things that come into question with Brandon Ingram. Those are some things that come into question with Ben Simmons. So neither of these prospects are totally unflawed. You know, last year, Karl Anthony Towns had some questions. His numbers weren't stellar at Kentucky. His per 36 numbers were stellar at Kentucky. But there were still questions. And none of it mattered once he got to the league because it's a totally different style of play in the NBA. There's 82 games. Talent wins out in this league. It just does. You know, so I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see, because I think that they both have their fit and they both have their problems within the Celtics. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how much input Brad Stevens has. It'll be interesting to see how much input Danny Ainge has. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see if anybody values that number one or number two overall pick to give them what the Celtics ultimately want, which is a franchise-altering player. You know? So a lot is in question tonight for the Celtics. And what I would plead to fans tonight, hope for the best. You know, the best case scenario is getting the number one or number two overall pick. Obviously, we all want that. Celtics are most likely to get the three or the four pick. You know, number five is also likely. But what I would say is you got to give it time. You know, if the Celtics do get the number three pick tonight, let's say that's the pick. They get the number three pick tonight. You know, you'll hear people already trade it, get rid of it. Who are we going to get? It's going to take time. It's not going to happen tonight. You know, this is a big night for the Celtics. This is a big night for the franchise, and they know it. You know, you're not going to hear them before the draft say, it's just another night. You know, it is what it is. We have a lot of things on the table. And I'm sure if they do say that, they're lying. It's a big night for the franchise. Isaiah Thomas will be representing the Celtics at the draft lottery tonight, so you will see him tonight. Isaiah will also be doing a TV analyst job with ESPN during the Eastern Conference Finals, so he will be in the studio breaking down some of the Eastern Conference Finals games between the Raptors and the Cavaliers. So you can catch Isaiah coming up on TV over the next couple of weeks here. You will first see him tonight, like I said, at the draft lottery representing the Celtics. Could be a great night for the Celtics. Could be another down night. I remember, like I said, in 2007, everyone thought we were getting the first and the second pick. Those were our odds. We were slotted in at number two. Everybody wanted number one because they wanted Greg Oden. Turns out if we got number two and Kevin Durant, well, we probably would have been in a pretty great spot right about now. But the Celtics fell to fifth. Everybody panicked. It was the end of the world. We're never going anywhere. What is this team going to do? You know, that was looked at as we need this one or two pick to turn the franchise around. It was going nowhere fast, and all of a sudden Danny Ainge pulls a rabbit out of his hat, trades for Ray Allen. No one had heard anything about that going into the draft. Danny Ainge makes the trade, middle of the draft, stuns everybody, and now they're saying, well, what are we doing now with Paul Pierce and Ray Allen? How does that put us above? And then, of course, he made the one big home run deal to grab Kevin Garnett, and now it's the rest is history. I'm not saying that's going to happen because I don't think it is, because I think that Danny Ainge hit lightning in a bottle. I think everything aligned right there. I think the KG trade had as much to do with Kevin McHale as it did with Danny Ainge. And I think the Ray Allen trade was just Seattle knew they weren't winning with Ray Allen, and they, you know, they had to get out of that deal. So to me, you hope for the best. I think the Celtics get the number one or number two overall pick. Things are going to get very, very interesting over the next month or so. So really holding tight for that number one or number two overall pick tonight. We want to wish the Celtics luck tonight. As I said, a very important night for the franchise. So I'm sure we will all be tuning in and holding our breath tonight as we wait to find out who will be the team to get the number one overall pick. That'll do it for this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. Again, my name is Chris Trafficante. Thanks for joining in today, guys. We will talk tomorrow in a post-draft lottery edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. We'll talk about where the Celtics land, who they'll be targeting, some of the things that come out tomorrow night about the draft. And we hope tomorrow at this time we're talking positively about the Boston Celtics. Only time will tell. We know how that goes. If good things are going to happen, they're going to happen. Again, my name is Chris Trafficante. That'll do it for this edition of the Hoop Crew Hour. We will talk to you guys tomorrow.